In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Advent is a season of waiting for Christ's coming. But there are different kinds of waiting, and instinctively we know this. Waiting in line at the grocery store is not the same as waiting for news at a hospital. Waiting can be boredom tinged with impatience. It can be mindlessly scrolling through social media updates or waiting on the 405 in neutral. Or it can be a much more concentrated kind of attentiveness, a sensitivity that the present moment is not all that there is, a sense that how we engage the present moment impacts how we inhabit the future. And this is the kind of waiting that Luke's gospel today is talking about. Our gospel has an edge of foreboding. Be on guard, don't be caught unexpected, or look around you and observe the signs of the season. And we hear difficult words that being a disciple of Jesus doesn't necessarily protect you from suffering, and that much about this life is impermanent. Then, as now, these kind of words can be disheartening, if not frightening. And so along with these words, Jesus also holds out hope. The Son of Man will come in a cloud with power and great glory. Stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Much of Advent focuses our attention upon Jesus' first coming, the mystery of Jesus' incarnation, the wonder and joy at the birth of the long-awaited child. This passage, though, points us to a less comfortable Advent theme, Christ's second coming. And the descriptions in Luke are patterned on a long tradition in the Hebrew scriptures that describes the end of all things and the coming of the Messiah who will make all things new. It's tricky. Throughout the millennia, many have taken the deep symbolism of the descriptions of the end of the world and transposed them onto political realities of the day. And people have done this over and over again. But Jesus consistently warns his disciples not to do this, not to get caught up in misinformation, not to let pretenders play upon their fears. Here, Jesus is specifically warning his disciples not to be taken in by those who equate the fall of the temple in Jerusalem with the end of the world. Instead, Jesus simply calls his disciples' attention to life's impermanence and the promises of his faithfulness. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And so we return to a more basic question as we stand at the threshold of Advent. Instead of trying to figure out the future, how do we interpret what God is doing around us now? And how do we live? How do we faithfully attend to what God is doing in the gap between how the world should be and how the world is? In those places in our lives personally and in the world around us where things just are not the way they should be, where our souls cry out for hope. When we're in those places, it's easy to just give up, which is why Jesus offers the exhortation to be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down. His words are intended to shake us out of despair or complacency and into one of attentiveness to what is going on around us. And he calls us to see through eyes of faith that trust in God's action in the world, to live life like it matters rather than letting life slip away. In the practice of discernment, Jesus is calling us to be interpreters of his hope in the uncertainties of this present day and age. This Advent season, the call to pay attention and to discern Christ's hope resonates. The turmoil of these past few years has led more and more people towards asking the big questions. And I've heard these more and more. Questions like, what matters in life? What do I need to change and what do I need to deepen? What relationships are important to me? What is in need of repair? Where is God in all this? Does faith matter, and can it be a force for good in the world? These questions arise from the fact that we've seen the season change. We've been disrupted, and we may be taking fewer things for granted now. This is an Advent place to be, one where we are looking around, muddling through the disruption in our lives, looking for Christ's presence, longing for Christ's presence, sometimes with a keen sense of incompleteness. And Advent is a good time for us to consider the words of St. Augustine, who began his autobiography with the words, "You have made us for yourself, Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." How can the hope of Christ's coming speak into the incompleteness or the questions or the losses that we carry? When we experience longing and restlessness, how do we look towards Christ's presence rather than numbing ourselves or avoiding uncomfortable questions? First, we can recognize our restlessness as a sign that God is reaching out to us, tugging on our hearts to draw closer and to pay attention. God is not content to leave us alone. And then we can continue to ground ourselves in Christ's hope by choosing to believe that God's Spirit is indeed at work in the world, even when we can't see it, even when it seems like nothing is happening. Honestly, pessimism can seem like a safer bet. It's like a kind of safety net where we try to protect ourselves from grief or hurt by writing off what has disappointed us. But when we draw upon the enduring hope of Christ, we can choose another way. The Advent way of faithful discernment, where our hearts are open to surprises as we scan the horizon for new things that God is bringing forth. More specifically, we can live into Christ's hope by discerning where hatred and judgment and fear threaten to take hold of our hearts, by allowing Christ to sift through our own judgments that we cast upon others and ourselves. Because this can obscure our vision and prevent us from seeing what is aligned with Christ's love. Advent is the time when we await love's birth into the world. And it's also the time where we look for the ways, often hidden, often small, that we can birth his love into the world. Because this is what it means to live as the body of Christ. Love is an active force that involves our volition and our cooperation. In the familiar words from 1 Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It rejoices in the truth, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. These words are a baseline for Advent discernment. Where we see that love is lacking, we have discerned the gap between the world as it is and the world as God would have it be. By contrast, where we see love at work, even when it seems small, we are discerning some of God's hidden Advent work in the world, the light overcoming the shadows in our own hearts and in the world around us. And that may be the place where we ourselves are called to jump in and be part of the work of love that God is doing. The German Jesuit priest Karl Rahner, a deep theologian of prayer, observed that Christ's first coming and second coming are best understood as one event that reaches through the millennia in a crescendo of hope. And he describes Advent with these words. Advent is not a mere looking back to something past, but is the human being's entrance by faith, hope, and love into the process which began when God entered the history of God's world and made it God's own. God has started on God's way. God is already there, hidden, and the revelation of God's being is at hand. The Advent promise is this: God is at work, even when you can't see it. Do not despair. Lift your eyes. turn towards the horizon of Christ's love, and live into hope.